I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock. I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
In all I say, this is my purpose.
In all that I say,
all I say, all I do,
this is my purpose.
This is my purpose.
In all that I say,
all I say, all I do,
this is my purpose.
Purpose to live a life that's pleasing to you.
I know.
I know.
Life can take you up and it can bring you down. Priorities, ideals can get so turned around.
Till all that's left is just a sham.
But you say
that you require more of me than empty talk. You want my life to guide me through my daily walk. It's rewarding
more than I could ever tell.
In all that I say,
all I say, all that I do, all I do,
this is my purpose.
This is my purpose.
In all that I say,
all I say,
all that I do,
all I do,
this is my purpose.
Purpose to live a life that's pleasing to you.
Purpose, but it seems to be focus less on you and focus more on me. I find myself wanting more, but
you're always there to listen when I'm asking you to take me past the selfishness to be renewed.
And once again, I know what I'm here for.
All I say,
all I say,
all I do,
this is my purpose.
This is my purpose.
In all that I say,
all I say,
all I say,
all I do,
this is my purpose.
Purpose to live a life that's pleasing to you.
Thank you, man. Is that your goal in life? To live a life that's pleasing to the Lord? I hope it is, because there is no greater goal in life. And the first step in reaching that goal is to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Because without that decision first, it doesn't matter what else you do in life. If you do anything without Jesus, it may have temporary value, but it has no eternal value. Welcome to this edition of the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced and sponsored by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry, and June marks the beginning of the 55th year of the Voice of Hope. In the original bylaws, several purposes were given for the founding of the ministry. I shared the first one earlier. Here's the second one, and I'm quoting, "To instill in believers a renewed awareness of the imminent return of Christ, which demands greater dedication to the imperative of the Christian message and to a more faithful Christian life." More than 50 years have passed since the founding of Heralds of Hope, but you know that purpose hasn't changed. One of our core values is developing our listeners and readers into passionate followers of Jesus Christ with visible fruit of holy living. That fulfills the purpose of calling our listeners and readers to a more faithful Christian life. And you know something? That's happening, not just here in North America, but in other places around the world too. Listen to this testimony from a man who listens to our Telugu language broadcasts in India. He writes, "I am blessed as I listen to the program regularly. My heart rejoices over the study of the Word of God by the use of radio. As I travel to the hills and valleys in this forest region, I see many people listening to the radio and accepting the Word of God and Jesus as their personal Savior. I'm an evangelist, and I work with a local church pastor, helping him in ministry. I also have a small shed on the top of my house, and I conduct prayers and worship services for a few people there. I praise the Lord for this blessing of the expositions from Romans and Corinthians. Praise God for that wonderful testimony. As part of our commemoration of our anniversary month, I'm sharing some teaching relating to this core value of holy living that characterizes the life of a Christ follower. My teaching today is titled, An Approved Worker. If you'd like to follow along when I read our scripture text, you can open your Bible or your phone app to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. When I was a teenager back in the 1970s, Keith Hernandez was one of baseball's top players. He had a lifetime batting average of 300. He won several Gold Glove awards because of his excellent fielding, and he won a batting championship for the highest average. Some of his other awards were Most Valuable Player in his league and two World Series titles. And yet, with all of those accomplishments, he missed out on something that was very important to him. That was his father's acceptance and recognition that what Keith accomplished was valuable. Here's what Keith had to say in a candid interview about the relationship with his father. One day I said, "Dad, I have a lifetime 300 batting average. What more do you want?" His father replied, "Someday you're going to look back and say, I could have done more." You know, that's a sad story. Within the human psyche, there's a deeply rooted desire for acceptance and approval. You know that as well as I do. And yet, with all of the fame and fortune that went with his career, Keith Hernandez couldn't buy what he wanted the most, the acceptance and the approval of his father. You know, it's sad this insight into Keith's life is closer to being the rule than the exception, especially today. With the breakdown of family and divorce and the pursuit of pleasure and possessions, so many young people aren't receiving the acceptance and the approval that they so desperately want, especially from their fathers. So they turn to all kinds of bizarre activities and behavior to try to fill that aching void that's there in their lives. They try to find acceptance and approval among their peers. You know, this should fill us with sadness, because the loss of something so valuable is bound to have ongoing consequences in many areas of life. This lack of parental approval and acceptance is sad. We might even say it's tragic. But even more tragic in the lives of many people is the lack of approval and acceptance with God. It's true, God loves and cares for every human being. But the Bible makes it clear that the only way to acceptance with the Father is through Jesus Christ. The only way to bridge the gap that separates sinful humanity from an absolutely holy God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Acceptance with God comes through salvation. That is, it comes through our new birth. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul reminds his readers that they have been accepted in the Beloved, or accepted in God's family by redemption through Jesus' blood. That's Ephesians 1, 6, and 7. And this is the only way that you and I can be accepted by God. The scriptures make it very clear that no amount of good works on our part can make us acceptable with God. The only thing that can do that is the blood of Christ. Now, we must also understand that acceptance and approval are two different concepts. Our approval from God is based on our works that are motivated by His indwelling presence. Remember what God said at Jesus' baptism? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was approved, He was pleasing to the Father, because He was submitting His will to the Father's will. And likewise, our obedience secures for us the approval of our Heavenly Father. If you struggle with that, think about it this way. My children always have my acceptance, at least at a certain level, because they're part of me, they're family. And though I may disown them, God forbid, I cannot change the fact that they are part of me. However, they don't always have my approval. I'm not always pleased with what they do. So while I accept them for who they are, I do withhold approval based on their wrong behavior or their foolish choices. And I extend approval when they do what is praiseworthy and right and good. So I invite you to turn with me now to the text, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 15 to 19 to learn how you and I can become an approved worker of Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God to us. Listen as I read 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul's instructions to Timothy outline for us several essential qualities that will help us in our quest to become an approved worker. The first quality of an approved worker is he is diligent. Now, the King James Version opens our text with the word study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So diligence is probably not the first idea that comes to your mind. The Greek word is spoudazo, and it means to make haste or to exert oneself, to endeavor, to be diligent. In secular Greek usage, it contained the ideas of being anxious, of hurrying, of doing your best, and carefulness. And what is the reason for this command to be diligent? It is to present or to demonstrate the quality of being approved by God. That's where I got the title for our study. Paul is urging Timothy to exercise diligence in presenting himself as approved by God. Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, the concept of approval is different than that of acceptance. Timothy's not trying to earn God's acceptance. He already has that through Jesus Christ. But God's approval, according to our text, is connected to Timothy's choices, his behavior. Kenneth Woost says it this way, "A workman approved is a workman who has been put to the test, and meeting the specifications, he has won the approval of the one who has subjected him to the test." Many years ago, when I was serving the Lord as a cabinet maker, my boss wanted me to move into a different department of the company. The specials department was responsible for making items that couldn't go through regular production. And when I joined that department, I wasn't immediately given the most difficult projects to build. Instead, I was given things that were simpler, and I was given time to develop my skill set. But as I passed each test, I was given more challenging and more difficult projects to work on. And in that way, I became an approved workman for my employer. In our text, Paul earnestly wishes Timothy to pass this test. In doing so, he will have no reason to be ashamed. His work will stand the scrutiny of anyone who is testing it. Now, you know as well as I do that if you're careless in your work, you'd prefer not to have it tested or scrutinized by someone else. You also know that if your work is of inferior quality, you'll be ashamed, especially if you know you could have done better. So diligence is a vital part of being an approved workman. Now let's look at the focus of Paul's command. He says the reason for this diligence, this testing, this approval that precludes shame is connected to Timothy's handling of the Scripture. This attention to his personal life and to God's desire for him will lead to careful handling of the Word of God. The idea of rightly dividing is expressed in the words, cutting it straight. Now to me, the imagery that is evoked here is interesting. What was Paul's occupation? He was a tent maker, and a tent maker had to know how to cut a straight line when he was making the parts for his tents. Knowing what we do about the Apostle Paul, I assume his tents were among the best available. I'm sure he was attentive to each detail in order to produce a high-quality product. You know, a farmer must know how to plow a straight furrow. And a mason must know how to dress stones properly so they fit together to make a structure that lasts. And those in the construction trades also know the importance of accuracy. Careless or sloppy work is cause for shame when it's exposed. So how does all this relate to the handling of Scripture? Sophocles, who was a Greek writer, expressed the concept this way, to expound soundly. You know, there are certain practices and procedures that lead to a quality product, whether you're a tent maker, a farmer, or a stonemason. In a similar way, there are processes that must be used by the teacher of the Word of God if he is to expound the Word of God accurately. Reading this text makes it clear that Paul placed a high priority on these processes, and he is urging Timothy to follow them diligently. You can't get the desired result if you don't take the proper steps. You know, I find it interesting that some people who are so meticulous in the way they handle the details of their daily work can be so sloppy in the way that they handle God's Word. Most of the tasks that you and I perform have a better outcome if we follow proven steps of action. In the kitchen, you ladies follow recipes. They tell you to add certain ingredients and perform certain tasks at specific places along the way, so that the finished product is edible and even desirable. And earlier I mentioned my cabinet-making employment. Sometimes, when I was learning to build a unit I had never built before, I'd get the steps out of order. That made extra work for me, and sometimes it actually affected the quality of the finished product. So when we talk about principles of interpretation in Bible study, we're talking about the methodology we use in order to reach a proper understanding of the text. This discipline is called hermeneutics. That's a big word. But it is the system that we use and the way we go about interpreting the Scripture. You know, it is easily proven that you can make the Bible say just about anything you want it to if you isolate verses from their context or change the common meanings of words. 2 Peter 3:16 talks about those who distort the Scripture to their own spiritual destruction. And you know, this is how many cults and false religions get started, but it's also how false teaching gets into the church. Dr. J. Otis Yoder was the founder and first president of Heralds of Hope, and he was the Bible teacher on these radio programs for more than 30 years. He was also my mentor. One of the statements he made about biblical interpretation was this one: a text without a context is a pretext. It was part of the reason why he argued for a systematic approach to biblical exposition instead of topical teaching. The topical approach is valid, but by its very nature, it's more likely to result in faulty interpretation. And so in the years that he and I served together, he repeatedly urged me to be faithful to the careful exposition of the Word. And you know, today I'm still grateful for his commitment and for his encouragement. Now, there was a lot of error floating around in the Ephesian church as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And these errors were more dangerous because they were being taught and promoted by those who were not outside, but inside the fellowship, by leaders who were trusted by the people. So Paul reminded Timothy repeatedly of the importance of diligently staying close to the Word of God and to the teaching of the apostles. Those reminders, I believe, are even more necessary today. If it's your goal to be an approved worker, then you will need to exercise and develop the quality of diligence. You must learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. And then the second quality of an approved worker is he is discerning. So he is diligent and he is also discerning. Not only must the approved worker be diligent in the pursuit of truth, but he needs to be discerning so he can detect and reject error. There are certain things that need to be embraced and held on to at all costs, while other things need to be seen for the fact that they are false and they need to be rejected. And it takes discernment to know the difference. Verse 16 begins with the word but, and that sets up a contrast between the commands of verse 15 and the instruction that Paul is about to give us. He urges Timothy to shun profane and vain babbling. The Greek word translated into the English word shun is peristemi. It means to turn oneself about, as for the purpose of avoiding something. The Expositor's Greek Testament translates it this way: give them a wide berth. You know, in the pursuit of excellence, of being an approved workman who correctly interprets and applies the truth of God's Word, error must be shunned by giving it a wide berth. In other words, staying far away from it. The New Testament repeatedly warns us to avoid false doctrine and to avoid fellowship with those who promote it. So the goal of these false teachers was not to draw people to Christ. Rather, it was to gain a following that they could control for their own personal advantage. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he warned him about those who equated personal and financial success with godliness. There are many like them today, and so there's a continual need for the exercise of a discerning spirit. Otherwise, you and I are likely to be led away by the errors of the false teachers. That makes this exhortation just as needful today as it was when Paul wrote to Timothy. In fact, with our modern digital communication, error can be disseminated more widely, more convincingly, and more quickly than ever before. Have you ever had a conversation with someone whose goal seemed to be to waste your time? I sure have. You soon learn they're not interested in the truth. All they're interested in is a good argument. Paul reminded Timothy that he had more important things to do than to spend time chasing down silly stories and worthless myths, things that were pointless in the quest to be an approved worker. Paul also warned Timothy that paying attention to these empty words would only lead to more ungodliness. Paul's reference to empty words is kinophonia. It's a compound word made up of phone, voice, and kinos, empty or hollow. Again, I quote Kenneth Woost, "Empty words are not merely empty, but because they are empty, they become evil words. As nature will not endure a vacuum, so empty words become filled with evil and thus become words of evil content and evil purpose." You know, with that understanding, it's easy to see how these kinds of words can only lead to more ungodliness, a state of irreverence for God and His Word. Paul further states that the words of the false teachers will spread like gangrene. Medical writers of Paul's day used this exact term, gangraina, to describe a sore that eats into a person's flesh. It's accompanied by an obvious discoloring of the affected area and a horrid smell. Gangrene is a decay of a tissue in a part of the body where the blood supply is obstructed by injury, disease, or some other cause. Paul mentions two of these cancerous-like teachers in Hymenaeus and Philetus, but we'll have to wait until next time to learn more about them. I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time on this broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next time to continue this teaching.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray.
Thank you, men. Those are the words of Jesus put to music. Our obedience is an indicator of our love for Him. Now, if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with someone, you may request a complete copy of this teaching, either in print or in a digital audio file. Ask for the teaching by its title, An Approved Worker. The easiest way for you to get in touch with us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's HOPE @heraldsofhope.org. www.thevoiceofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request either a digital or printed copy of this teaching, an approved worker. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope as we look into the Word of God together and complete this teaching on an approved worker. And until we meet again,
in a world of confusion, in a world of great delusion, there's a way, there's a way. In a world of roadblocks, in a world of traps and hard knocks, there's a way, there's a way. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says, His words remain the same. He is the only one who gives true peace and hope. For He's the only way to God, the way, the truth, the life. In a world of verbal quarrels, in a world of twisted morals, there is truth, there is truth. In a world of deception, in a world of dark perceptions, there is truth, there is truth. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says, His words remain the same. He is the only one who gives true peace and hope. For He's the only way to God, the way, the truth, the life. In a world of shame, in a world of shortlived fame, there is life, there is life. In a world of grim tomorrows, in a world of death and sorrow, there is life, there is life. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says.